You're listening to EFT Radio Online, where we explore meridian tapping techniques for self-help and peak performance. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer located at eftradioonline.com/disclaimer. If you'd like to get the schedule of all the upcoming EFT radio shows and access to archive shows, please visit us at eftradioonline.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter.
Are you easily annoyed? Are anger and frustration draining your energy? Are you hanging on to the past? Would it surprise you to learn that these everyday irritations are clues to your biggest problems? Welcome to What's Bugging You? Let's Fix It with EFT, with your host, Helen McConnell. Helen is a certified EFT practitioner who has helped more than 1,000 people tap away what was bugging them, resulting in weight loss, higher income, stronger relationships, freedom from pain, reduced stress, and more. Join Helen McConnell as she uses the personal, portable, permanent power of EFT tapping to help her guests fix what's bugging them.
What constitutes a trauma? Way more than you probably realize. Today we're going to talk about subtle trauma and its not-so-subtle effects and symptoms. I bet you or someone close to you has unresolved trauma. I know because everyone I work with does, and everyone I talk to does. I've become so familiar with the symptoms that I can identify unresolved trauma in someone I've never even met. And I recognize it in public figures like politicians, actors, and athletes, and offenders like shooters and bombers. I see it in cops and firefighters and EMTs. I see it in parents and kids. And it's important for me to say that my goal is not to make everyone trauma-free, but rather to help people become trauma-aware, trauma-light, and emotionally resilient. Tapping can resolve old traumas completely, but will most likely never get to them all. But as people resolve old traumas, they can learn not to react when triggered, and to tap immediately in the face of possible new trauma. My personal experience for me with tapping is this. After all these years of tapping, I still have unresolved trauma. Although I've done a ton of work, I still have trauma. Here's where I've made progress. Some things that used to trigger me no longer do. That's a real blessing. Things that still trigger me aren't as intense, and I notice immediately when I'm triggered and I start tapping. And that resolves the trauma completely or partially. I easily recognize my own trauma response, or rather reaction, and can get it under control. And the biggest change is that I actually am excited about going deeper with my own stuff when I get a traumatic reaction. What a blessing tapping is. I'm Helen McConnell, your host for What's Bugging You? Let's Fix It with Tapping. I am passionate about tapping and all that it can do for us. I'm a transformational specialist here in Portland, Oregon, where I work with clients locally and all over the world. My goal is to help you become the most glorious version of you possible. My in-person clients come to me here in my Airstream office in Northeast Portland. And because of the gifts of technology, I'm able to work with people all over the planet. That is really thrilling. Today, I want to continue the discussion about emotional and psychological trauma. Please start tapping while you listen. No need to use words to tap. Just tap the entire time you listen, and beyond if you need to. Tap on the side of your hand the entire time, or tap around the points, whatever feels right to you, or you can use the fingertip points. They are located on the side of your nail bed on each of your fingers. You can take your thumb and on the pad of your thumb, tap down the sides of each of your fingers like you're stepping down a ladder from your pointer finger, middle finger, ring finger, baby finger. And you just keep doing that over and over again. Okay, or you can tap your the sides of your nail beds like that with your other hand. But I like the single-handed version. It's nice for when you're in a meeting or if you've got something going on and you only have one hand free. Okay. Another spot that I like for trauma work, another tapping spot, is called the gamut point. It's located on the back of your hand, so turn your hand over, and there's a ridge between each of your fingers on the back of your hand, in between each of the bones. And the gamut point is located between the baby finger bone and the ring finger bone on the back of your hand. There's a little indent there. And the gamut point was part of a protocol in the original thought field therapy developed by Dr. Roger Callahan. And Gary Craig got his training from Dr. Callahan. And I find that the gamut point to be very effective with trauma. I don't use the whole protocol necessarily. It's called the 9 gamut protocol, but sometimes I do, and there's more to that. You can find out later. But while you're listening, if you feel particularly triggered, I think this gamut point will help you feel settled, maybe more than any of the other points. By listening to this recording, you take full responsibility for your own well-being. I've received more feedback and interest from these podcasts on trauma than on any previous podcast. That tells me that I've hit on something really important. The topic of trauma is near and dear to my heart because I suffered from unresolved trauma for most of my life until I found tapping. And with the help of tapping professionals and diligently tapping for myself on this stuff, I'm mostly free of it. Like I said before, I'm sure I've still got some unresolved trauma, but I'm mostly free and I feel free. That means that when I am triggered, on the rare occasion that I'm triggered, it's not nearly so intense and I can catch it right away. That's really powerful. The big stuff is resolved and much of the smaller traumas have been healed. I know I have a couple of things because something came up recently and I'll tell you about that in a minute. So what is trauma? There is physical trauma, an injury to the body, and the body knows how to heal that. Physical trauma is where Western medicine is really great for setting bones, stitching wounds, and replacing organs. But often overlooked is the emotional trauma that always accompanies a physical trauma. The fear, the thoughts that accompany the pain, the looks on people's faces as they see your injuries, the worry about expenses and insurance and lost work time, maybe the loss of some physical mobility or lots of physical mobility. And if the physical injury is severe, there's an emotional trauma with unconsciousness, with surgery, etc. If you've had an accident or a surgery at any time in your life, it's likely you have some tapping to do. And I'll give you a personal example of this thing that happened to me recently. About 3 months ago, 3.5 months ago, I was riding my bike and I was hit by a car. It was not terribly severe, and I'm lucky for that, but it did. The car struck the back of my bike and it did knock me off my bike onto the sidewalk from the road. And I suffered some shoulder injury, which I didn't know at the time, not until a bit later. Right when it happened, as soon as it happened, I was conscious, so I started tapping, like right there on the sidewalk. And I'm grateful for that. So I kind of thought I had taken care of, you know, the trauma of being hit by a car. But then I had this shoulder injury that came from that accident, and it's 3.5 months later, and it hasn't healed. So I was on a classroom call with Steve Wells the other night. He's the tapping expert from Australia. And I was telling him about it. And he said, well, let's tap on that. So I started tapping and realized that I was feeling really impatient about this pain. It hasn't healed yet. 3.5 months. What's taking so long? And I hadn't tapped on those types of emotions, at least not very thoroughly. And as soon as I started tapping and said it one time out loud, I just said, I'm not healing fast enough, are the words that came out of my mouth. And all of a sudden, I realized how ridiculous that sounded. And that by pressuring my body to heal faster, I was pressuring my body and actually making it so it couldn't heal as fast as it naturally would if I were to sort of stay out of it. And as soon as I got that aha, my shoulder just relaxed and a lot of the pain went away. Just another example of tapping and how powerful it is. And I still have some stuff to tap on around the more subtle stuff related to this bike wreck, you know, how many doctor's appointments I have and that kind of thing. Going to the chiropractor, going to the physical therapist, going for acupuncture. These things take time and they are inconvenient and I didn't plan them. I mean, I didn't plan for them. And so that causes a different kind of emotion. And these are the subtle things that the more we tap, we can get into the more subtle work, and it's really powerful. So let's get back to talking about some other kinds of trauma. The very prevalent childhood emotional traumas that continue to affect our lives and our outcomes. These are what I want to focus on today. How to identify the symptoms of trauma and what to do about them. Some of this may be repeating what I said on the earlier trauma podcasts, but it bears repeating. This is a complex topic, and it is so, like I said, so prevalent in our culture and in the world. And it's so prevalent that we almost can't see it because it's sort of like the normal, but we don't really want this to be the normal. Okay. Emotional trauma from childhood, also referred to as adverse childhood experience, is, in my opinion, the single greatest risk to humanity right now. Think about that. The single greatest risk to humanity, to our survival. It is so prevalent and so much a part of our culture that we can't seem to recognize it. Sort of like how a fish swimming in water doesn't recognize water. And if everyone around us has similar symptoms, we start to think those symptoms are normal. I, myself, don't want to be that kind of normal. In my previous trauma podcasts, I talked about the more obvious traumas, which arise from neglect or verbal abuse, or as a result of physical or sexual abuse. And again, I want to make sure that if you're listening, you're tapping, because sometimes even these words can trigger people. Try to stay with me and just keep tapping. Or if it's too intense for you, stop the recording and just spend some time tapping on yourself. You don't have to listen to this. There is sexual trauma from sexual abuse, molestation, rape, inappropriate touching, or other unwanted sexual events. But there is this more subtle trauma and probably way more destructive because we don't even think it's trauma. In fact, I've had people tell me that they didn't think they had any trauma because it wasn't a big thing. And we humans have only just begun to identify and unravel this more subtle trauma. But its effects, as I said earlier, are not so subtle. I encourage you to listen with an open mind and an open heart and ask yourself if these symptoms or any of this information applies to you or someone you love. And if it does, there's no need to judge it or point any fingers. It's an opportunity for great healing. I'd like to share with you a story about Susan, who came to me because she hides away. She works at home, rarely goes out, and is afraid to expand her business. As we tapped together, we soon discovered an old emotional trauma from her early childhood. She was 5 years old, and she had wanted her family to watch her puppet show. Her mother, father, and 3 siblings were very impatient about watching. At one point, she had her puppets say something that wasn't supposed to be funny, but everyone laughed. She asked them to stop laughing, and they just laughed harder. She felt so humiliated that she couldn't finish the puppet show. Susan had never resolved the trauma, never felt supported or soothed. And this trauma seemed so minor that she probably wouldn't have gotten to it without tapping or hypnosis. We did it with tapping. But back then, she had only found comfort by going into her room and cuddling with her stuffed animals. She stayed there for what seemed like a couple of hours in her memory before she felt safe to come out of her room. And when she came out, no one noticed that she'd been gone. Susan's latent reaction to this trauma is that she's afraid to go out and talk to people about her business. It feels like performing, and that feels like humiliation and not being supported. It's just so uncomfortable to her. As we tapped, Susan began to see the connection and release the old trauma, which she had been holding in her solar plexus. She reported to me that she has been out promoting her business in the last few weeks and is really starting to enjoy it. Besides clients who come to me for trauma resolution, people often come to me to work on things like feeling stuck in their work or life, having money issues or relationship problems. Some people want to get out of depression or end their anxious feelings. Some people just want to feel better, more energized and motivated. Some want to overcome fears or phobias. These are some of the symptoms that usually arise from the kind of trauma we're talking about today. It's really helpful to know about the reactions from trauma, the symptoms that show up in our everyday life. If you have a boss or coworker who lashes out or gives the silent treatment or humiliates people or bullies people, that person is in an emotional reaction. He or she doesn't know it, so don't tell them. This is for your benefit. This person probably doesn't know they alienate or cause emotional harm to others. What they're really doing is kind of protecting themselves. They're keeping everyone at a distance so people can't see how insecure they are, or they can't let on to people how much emotional pain they're in. And so they spread that pain around. It's just a human thing that we do, but it doesn't mean that it's okay. And the other thing is, maybe they don't care. These people often say things like, "I'm not emotional." But the truth is, they are very emotional. They just don't know it. When they're triggered like that, or they're lashing out, that's emotional. And if they say they're not emotional, what they're saying is they don't want to be perceived as sensitive, but really they are. And they think that it's everyone else who has gotten them upset. It's someone else's fault. Someone didn't do their job right. Someone wasn't working hard enough. Someone wasn't doing something. Someone made them look bad. But if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know that it is their own thoughts and reactions that have caused them to be upset. It's not anyone else's fault. Again, they just don't know it. And it's probably not your job to point it out to them. Now, that doesn't mean that you should put up with verbal or emotional abuse at work. No matter how much money you make, or how cool your job is, or how bad you think you need your job, there are ways to respond in a healthy manner to outbursts by bosses or coworkers. Maybe not in the moment they're having the outburst, but maybe following up later. That's a whole other topic for another episode. I'll be doing a boundaries and anger episode very soon. I'll announce that in a couple of weeks. Right now, I'd like to take a short break. We'll be right back to talk more about these subtle forms of trauma and their effects on our behavior and emotions. Stay tuned. I'm Helen McConnell from helenmcconnell.com. I have a private coaching practice here in Portland, Oregon, where I work with clients from all over the world and from right down the street. I work by video call, by phone, or in person. Tapping doesn't require that I be in the same room with my clients, and I think that's really cool. Have you ever wanted to work with a private coach but felt you couldn't afford it? I offer several ways we can work together, and I'd like you to think of it as an investment in your own well-being and your own magnificence rather than an expense. If you'd like to speak to me further about it, you can go to my website, helenmcconnell.com, and click on the Schedule an Appointment button. There you'll find my calendar, and you can find a time that works for both of us and set up a free 20-minute consultation. It's no pressure. There's no sales pitch. We just have a conversation about what you'd like to accomplish and if there's a good fit for us to work together. I hope you'll make an appointment soon. We're back, and today I'm talking about the more subtle forms of trauma and their effects on our behavior and emotions. As I start to talk with clients in groups and we're tapping, I discover more of the symptoms of hidden trauma. Things like not feeling heard, not feeling seen, afraid to be seen, needing to always be the center of attention, attention deficit, unable to complete tasks, sloppy self-care habits, repeating injuries, can't get out of debt, can't make enough money, afraid to look at their money, afraid to shine or stand out, and more. Do any of these symptoms sound like you or close? The other day, I was working with a woman who is normally a part of one of my groups. Due to summer schedules, on this day it was just she and I. So I've known her and worked with her, but that day we got to go really deep. And as we followed the rabbit hole of sensations, emotions, memories, and beliefs, we got to an early childhood experience that she'd never mentioned before. She was pretty sure that this had happened on more than one occasion, but she'd sort of lumped all the events together in her memory. Some of us do that, maybe for efficiency's sake, I don't know, but our young minds lump these things together. The event went like this. When she and her brother were young, they were eating at the table when their dad came up and started yelling about the crumbs on the floor. "Animals," he called them. "You eat like animals. Look at the mess on the floor." So he got them all upset by yelling while they were eating. And then her dad would get a broom and clean up the mess. And that emotional memory has played out in her life over and over in different ways. She'd never identified it until the other day when we were working together. And it shows up like this. She doesn't think these words out loud or say them out loud, but as she was looking back over the patterns in her life, this theme was prevalent. It went like this. Someone else will clean up my messes. Other people will clean up my messes. So I won't go into all the ways that this shows up for her, but you can imagine what that might look like. And she's an adult now with children of her own. And there is another component to this that she was able to identify, that other people will clean up my messes, especially if they get mad first. It's like she unconsciously had to keep repeating this event, and I do believe we do this in the hopes of healing it, but if we're traumatized about it, we're not likely ever going to heal it. So that's why healing these traumas are so important. I would venture to guess that this pattern is going to stop in her life. I'll follow up later when she lets me know, but it was such an awakening moment. And my expertise really is in finding these patterns in people's lives and helping them identify them and clear them up. We are patterned beings. We live the same basic life over and over until we heal. And when we heal, we have a chance to move to a whole nother level of awareness for every time we heal. It's really fabulous. And there is another symptom of trauma that I hadn't given much thought to until recently, and yet it's one I often talk about in my classes, but in another context. And it's the silent treatment. Think about the silent treatment. If you've ever been given the silent treatment or you've ever given the silent treatment, it is usually an indication of someone being so mad they can't speak, or they don't know how to say what they want to say, or they're afraid to say what they want to say. In my first marriage, I was emotionally unequipped to be in a relationship. I was young. I was still an alcoholic. I had no healing. And I used the silent treatment so that my then husband would ask me what was wrong. The problem was that by the time he noticed and asked, I usually couldn't remember what was wrong. And this might be 2 or 3 days later, and he hadn't even really noticed that I'd been giving him the silent treatment, but I noticed, and it hurt me. But anyway, the silent treatment is a form of emotional violence. I want you to think about that. Even though it's not outwardly violent, it's inwardly quite violent. It's violent against the person who's being silent, and it's really hurtful to the person who it's being used against. If you or someone you know uses the silent treatment, it's a sign of unresolved trauma. And I'm not passing judgment here. I'm just inviting you to use it as a healing platform. The next time you find yourself in that situation where either you're giving the silent treatment or receiving the silent treatment, it's an opportunity to heal. And often the belief behind the silent treatment is that it's not okay to have feelings or it's not okay to talk about them. And often there's a fear of abandonment behind this symptom as well. So afraid that if I say what I think or I say what I feel, you'll leave me. That was my personal experience. So as you're probably noticing, trauma is rampant in our culture and in the world. The symptoms of trauma are everywhere. Most of us don't know how to have healthy relationships because of many generations of fear and anxiety and stress and trauma. But we are here at this time in human history, you and me and anyone else listening, with these resources like tapping and the internet and so many other great spiritual leaders, and with this awareness and with willingness to stop the pain in a healthy way, all these things are combining right now so that we can put an end to our family history of violence, of passive aggressiveness, of silencing others and ourselves, of controlling others and not controlling ourselves. I'm sure you've seen that. Tapping is a crucial part of this global healing, and I'm here to help facilitate that. And I want you to be a part of it too. Tapping is so powerful and so effective. It's also gentle and efficient. If you've been waiting to do your shadow work and get to the root causes of some of your behaviors that you don't understand or you feel aren't the way you want to be, I encourage you to invest in yourself. 5 to 10 sessions is usually enough to take veterans with severe PTSD to having no symptoms of PTSD, so it ought to be enough for most of what you need to work on to really feel some great results. And then it is an ongoing process. Just like when you lose weight, you need to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and you need to continue working out to maintain your strength, and you need to continue to practice to maintain mastery of your cello or painting or sewing or anything else. You need to do the maintenance work, the practice of ongoing fine-tuning and going deeper with your emotions. But I promise you, the benefits, the gifts, the rewards are so worth it. Getting started is the scariest part for most people, but you just need to take that one first step. And here's another thing I've discovered in my work with individuals and groups over the years and from my studies. Humans are very sensitive beings. We pick up energetic messages, verbal messages, emotional messages, physical messages from body language as well as from touch. At the earliest stage of our development in our mother's womb, we resonate with the vibration of our mother's and even our father's emotions. For example, this is really powerful. I want you to hear this. If a mother has experienced the death of a child or a miscarriage or even an abortion and then becomes pregnant with you, if she's still feeling deep grief and loss, the baby, you, will feel that loss. That means that the baby is born already feeling like she has to make up for something. And if not healed, that will carry through her life. It will create one of those patterns like I was talking about. I often find that these after-loss children, the children who are born after the parents have had a great loss, oftentimes they're overweight or obese and cannot seem to drop the weight. It's as if they feel they have to physically make up for the loss of the sibling by being two people. That's just one of the ways it shows up. And when we heal that pre-birth wound with tapping, and we can do it and it's not difficult, it's pretty amazing, the results and the freedom are incredible. Now, here's another part of this that I really want you to get. This emotional debt, as I call it, when a baby is born into the world already in debt, trying to make up for something, can lead to more emotional debt. feeling trapped in relationships, feeling like people use you or manipulate you, or you use them and manipulate them, that there are always strings attached to things. If you feel that way, this might be the cause. And there's often a correlation between emotional debt and financial debt, or an inability to hold on to money. Think about that. Okay, so these are the ways we can begin to heal these deep, deep wounds. It's so exciting and so powerful. So you see, these old, old traumas, which may not even have happened to you directly, can be passed along energetically from one generation to the next. I call them emotional family heirlooms. And they are not the kind of family heirlooms we want to keep. They're not valuable. We don't want to display them. We don't want to pass them along any further. So it's time to heal them. And each time there's a trauma, the energetic spiritual system, our energetic spiritual system, splinters. And that doesn't mean it breaks off, or part of us breaks off, but it does splinter off and it becomes unwhole. So our goal is to heal the trauma and return to wholeness. This is what tapping has done for me, and it took me several years to really describe it this way, that being able to return to wholeness. And I don't remember ever in my life feeling quite so whole. I probably never was quite that whole, except maybe in this wholeness doesn't mean perfection, at least not in the social sense, but rather perfection in the divine sense. God sees you as perfect no matter what, but God gave you free will and your soul has things to learn. So if your current state leaves you feeling uncomfortable, your current emotional state, you have the power to heal and change. You don't need to be fixed. You're not broken. You're simply splintered. And it's time to return to wholeness. Of course, I recommend tapping for this work, along with body work of some type, acupuncture, massage, Traeger, Feldenkrais, maybe some other form of body work. They make a wonderful combination. Now, I want to talk briefly about psychological abuse, which occurs from a variety of causes, including everything I just listed, all the emotional stuff. In the midst of experiencing a trauma, we are very psychologically suggestible and can retain something someone else says to us, or something we hear, or some idea that we come up with in the moment. These are the tactics that are used by a controlling parent, spouse, boss, perpetrator, government, get you traumatized, and then drop in a suggestion and they suddenly have control over you. And that may have happened to you, and it's time to get free. It's possible to get free. The flip side of this psychological suggestibility is that when we are working on a trauma in the moment, when a client is triggered or a person is triggered and I'm tapping on them, there is this moment where I can drop in a suggestion and it will stay put. So for example, one night I was working on a young woman who had become traumatized or triggered at an event that I was doing, and I took her outside to tap with her. As we got a couple of rounds into the tapping and her intensity level dropped so quickly, I dropped in a suggestion. I said, there's a good chance that whatever this trauma was, because I didn't know what it was, she didn't need to tell me, will never bother you again. And it never has. So I'm delighted to say that this can work in our favor as well. As I'm preparing for this podcast and writing the script and getting my ideas down, I'm sitting at the local Starbucks. It's a hangout for all the cops who patrol this area when they go on break. I have a theory about cops. If you and I are traumatized and jumpy because of our own personal traumatic history, which we are, it's a safe bet that most cops are too. And they carry guns. The average person goes into an unconscious response, and I don't mean like they have blacked out, but they are not in control. It's like they're on autopilot whenever they're triggered by old trauma. suspects and criminals do, and cops do too. Most cops, not all. Some have had some trauma healing and trauma training. But unless they've consciously done a lot of trauma work, most of them have unresolved trauma. I live in Portland, where we have had many police shootings over the years, mostly African-American victims, many of whom did nothing to warrant being shot other than the crime of walking or driving while black. And I see this all over the country. I believe that every police officer should have trauma training that includes education about the symptoms of trauma, training about how to de-escalate triggered people, and resolving their own existing trauma, as well as ongoing resolution when new traumatic events occur. You can imagine a police officer being involved in a shooting, how traumatic that must be for the officer. Portland is a fairly white city. It has a deep history of racism against blacks. I'm sorry to say that. This podcast isn't about racism, but racism is a traumatic event that often is many generations old. If you've never been a victim of racism, you can't possibly know what that feels like, but you can observe it in other people. I personally have done my best to heal that collective trauma. It is a collective trauma, and I urge you to do the same. Taking care of your emotions about racism is the most powerful thing you can do. In fact, taking care of your emotions about anything is the most powerful thing you can do. And on that note, I will be publishing my first book very shortly. It's called 10 Simple Things You Can Do Now to Profoundly Change the World. And it has that message in it about anything that you want to do to change the world starts within you. It's due to be published in September of 2017. I'll keep you posted. As I wrap up this episode, I want to thank you for listening in. If you have any comments or questions, please don't hesitate to email me, helen@helenmcconnell.com. If you've been triggered by anything I've said, please keep tapping to reduce your intensity. And know that being triggered is really an invitation to heal. Notice yourself when you're triggered and stop yourself from plummeting emotionally and giving in to your unconscious reaction. Each time you become aware of your own reaction and intercept it, you get closer to resolution and enlightenment. Don't settle for old behaviors that aren't healthy, that no longer serve you, and that actually harm you, just because you've always reacted that way. You deserve better. Please contact me if you'd like to work with me one-to-one via Skype or phone, or if you'd like to join me on one of my online tapping groups, which are also a wonderful way to heal, quite a value, and very sacred. Here's to your magnificent self.
What's bugging you? If you'd like to be a participant on the show, please go to Helen's website, purposeprosperityhappiness.com, and click on the What's Bugging You tab. Then click on I Want to Be a Participant. While you're on the site, you can view all of Helen's free tapping videos or schedule a complimentary transformation conversation. Again, that's purposeprosperityhappiness.com.